Welcome to GemaraMarkings.com, your roadmap to the Talmud Bavli. We highly recommend printing out the PDF of the DAF with the markings, or better yet, emailing us to obtain your own copy of the Shas Ozer pre-marked Gemara edition. If this is your first time visiting the site, we highly recommend clicking on the links to view the sample markings, as well as to hear a brief 4-minute audio explanation of the Shas Ozer pre-marked Gemara edition. Enjoy your shiur.
Today's shiur in Maseches Bava Basra will be beginning from the lower part of Kuf Chof Vov Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. One immediately notices the presence of geometric forms, in this case, triangles. Geometric forms indicate a series. Let us take a look at the outside margin, where we have a Nosei Mivne heading, topic heading, and structural note combined. The triangle here features Sidra Shel Deos Be'inyan Tumtum Shenikra V'Nimtza Zohar. This is a person, a baby, that's born, and his organs that define his gender are covered. And he's covered with a film of skin, and that is considered, that's titled, referred to as a tumtum. In the course of time, the skin that covered his organs of gender was cut, and it was revealed that this, in fact, is a male individual. We will see here a number of opinions and a number of different realms of halacha where this phenomenon will have halachic bearing. Omar Rabbi Ami, Tumtum Shenikra, the Nimtza Zohar, a child whose gender became apparent only after his birth, namely at the time of birth it was not clear, he was a Tumtum at the time of birth, and only later on did it become known that he is a male. Eino Noitel Pishnayim. Even though he's a firstborn, he will not be entitled to a double portion. The Omar Kro, the Posuk, in the context of inheritance, says, V'hoyo haben habachor lasniya. That's the Posuk itself. And we darshan this, Ad shiyehe ben mish'as havaya. The word hoyo, the verb form to be, is explained that he is not considered a firstborn with regard to double portion until he is a firstborn at the point of birth. The revelation of his being a male at a later point in time is insufficient for him to receive that double portion. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok Omar, Af eino nidoy keben sorer umoreh. Another parsha, another section of the Torah that deals with male children, deals with the rebellious son, the ben sorer umoreh. Without getting into details, after all, it's an entire perek in Maseches Sanhedrin. Nevertheless, categorizing the child as a ben sorer umoreh will not apply to someone born as a tumtum. The Omar Kro, ki yeh le'ish ben sorer umoreh. Notice, with our markings, we've emphasized the yeh word with a dashed underline, and the term ben, squiggle underline, as we did in the pasuk just before. We learn from this, we darshan, ad sheyeh ben mish'as havaya, until he is an obvious male, at the point of his being, namely, at the point of birth. The third halacha. Ameimar Omar, af eino mima'et chelek b'chora. A tumtum will not reduce the extra portion that the Bechor brother receives. In other words, the basic portion that the brothers receive will be reduced when it becomes revealed that this Tumtum is in fact another brother of theirs and hence deserving in sharing the estate. However, the section or the portion that constituted the extra portion of the Bechor, that is not diminished by this particular brother. Shenemar v'yolda loy bonim. This posuk is coming from the parsha of Yerusha, of the firstborn double portion. And the posuk says, as we just read, v'yolda loy bonim ad shiye ben b'shas leida. The Rashbam gets involved with the calculations, how this reduction and non-reduction of property takes place. We offer a little diagram or chart on the inside margin, whereby you would imagine 9 monim. We can say 9 portions, 9 fields, if you will, 9 units. If they're 2 brothers, then the 9 would be divided as follows. If they're 2 brothers, a Bechor, he would get 6 units, and the Poshet gets 3 units. 6 being double of 3. In this particular story, we mention 2 brothers. In fact, there were 2 clear male brothers and a 3rd child, but he was a tumtum. It became obvious at a later stage that the 3rd child is also a male child. So this halacha of Amemar says that the double portion or the extra portion of the Bechor remains intact. What do we mean by that? What did we say before? Before we said the Bechor received 6 units out of the 9. The 6 units is comprised of 3 and 3. 3 units are his basic amount, and the other 3 units are his Bechor portion. Amemar tells you that the 3 units that can constitute the Bechor portion remain his. The other 3 units that the Bechor had received, plus the 3 units that the brother, the Poshut brother, received, 3 and 3, 6 units, are now redivided amongst the 3 of them. So when you take 6 and divide it 3 ways, each brother will get 2 units. So at the end of the day, as a result of the redivision, the Bechor will be receiving 5 units as opposed to his original 6, and the Poshet will receive 2 units as opposed to his original 3, and the now discovered Tumtum male will receive 2 units as well. So what we saw is that the discovery of the 3rd child being a Zohar, being a male, did not reduce the Chelek Bechora that the Bechor originally received. The original Chelek Bechora, the extra portion, was 3 units, and he remains with those 3 units. Continuing in the Gemara, Rav Shizvi Omar Af Eino Nimoil Lishmoina. The Tumtum, now male, if it became obvious that he's a male before he reached his 8th day, if his 8th day comes out on Shabbos, he will not receive a bris milah, he will not be circumcised, even though standard circumcision is practiced on Shabbos. We say Bris Milah is Doiche Shabbos. Not in this case. Not in the case where he was not born as a clear male. The Omar Krol, the Pasuk says, Isha ki sazria v'yolda zachor uvayoyim hashmini gimol. The Gemara understands Yoyim hashmini gimol, on the eighth day is circumcised, the eighth day even if it's Shabbos. But when do we say that? Ad shiyehe zachor mishas leida. This is true provided he is a zohar, he's a male, at the point of birth. Then, and only then, do we say that the mila is doiche Shabbos. Rav Shravi Omar, af ein imoi tameo leida, that a mother of a tumtum does not experience the time period of tumas leida. Di Omar kro, isha ki sazria, V'yolda zohar v'toma shivas yomim. The Torah describing Tumas Leda says that Tumas Leda sets in when she's yolda zohar. Ad she zohar mishas Leda. Only if he's a male child as opposed to a tumtum at the point of birth. But if he's not a male, if his gender is not clear at the point of birth, then no tumas leida. Meisvei, the Gemara raises an objection to Rav Shravya from the following source. In this source, we've dashed underlined the expression tumtum. The source discusses a tumtum and mentions tumas leida. So we see, contrary to Rav Shravya, that there is Tumas Leda upon the birth of a Tumtum. Meisvei, the source begins here, as you can see it's in a frame that signifies that it's a Tanaic source. Hamapelis, Tumtum, Vandragonis. She has a miscarriage of this type of fetus, a Tumtum or Androgynous, which is a dual gender type child. Teshev lozochu nekeva. She must practice the tuma period of a male and of a female. We're not going to elaborate in the context of our shiur regarding the details of tumas leido right now, but we will just state the basic time consideration. Teshev lozochu nekeva means that she will experience the days of impurity that characterize a female child, which is a 14-day period of time following the birth. And the reference here to Lazochar is there is a period time known as Yemei Tohar, of purity, that characterizes a male child that lasts until day 40 from the time of birth. Being that these children are not clear as far as their gender is concerned, so we say she practices the days of impurity characteristic of a female 14 days as opposed to the standard 7 for a male birth. And the days of purity she experiences up till day 40. In this case it'll be 26 days of purity, namely from day 14 when the Tumas Leda ends till day 40, so 26 days. That is characteristic, day 40 is characteristic of a male birth, as opposed to day 80, which would be characteristic of a standard female birth. Those details, having been said, constitute a problem for Rav Shravya. Tiufta de Rav Shravya, Tiufta. Because Rav Shravya mentioned, he was the fifth opinion in the fifth triangle, he mentioned that there is no tumas leida for a tumtum birth. The Gemara asks, Lemo teve tyufta de Rav Shizvi. Let us say that this source constitutes a problem for Rav Shizvi. Rav Shizvi, in his teaching, he dealt with Bris Milah on the eighth day. Rav Shizvi insisted that that gender knowledge must accompany the child at the point of birth. In other words, we must know his gender at the point of birth, and if we don't, so then the respective halacha falls away. Here we see that even though we don't have gender knowledge at the point of birth, the halacha nevertheless applies. The Gemara answers, this source does not present a problem to Rav Shizvi. Tana sfuke mesafko le ulechumra. The Tana, with regard to Tumas Leida, is coming from a position of doubt. And coming from a position of doubt, he applies the more stringent approach. Let us go over that using the details. The din of the source said, I'm in doubt regarding this birth. In other words, I don't have clarity at the point of birth regarding the gender. Therefore, I apply stringencies, namely, I apply longer days of impurity, namely nekeva impurity, 14 days, and a stringency regarding Yemei Tohar, giving her only up till day 40 and not up till day 80. That represents stringency. The din of Rav Shizvi also represents a stringency, namely, since I don't know the nature of this child, I don't know his gender, namely, I don't know that he is a male at the point of birth, therefore I will not circumcise him on Shabbos. I will be strict, I will be stringent with regard to the halachas of Shabbos, and b'shei v'altase, with passive resistance, so to speak, I will not circumcise. That too is an application of a chumrah, of a stringency. Therefore, this source does not counter Rav Shizvi. Rav Shravya, on the other hand, represented a leniency. He said that the birth of a tumtum creates no tumas leda, that the woman is not impure. This source says the woman is impure, hence this source constitutes a refutation of Rav Shravya's teaching, but not of Rav Shizvi, as we pointed out before. The Gemara asks, if this source regarding birth tumas leda, birth impurity, is teaching stringency, ihachi, it should have taught as follows, Teshev lazochar ulenekeva ulenida miboyale. It should have said thusly. In other words, and we're going to have to keep it simple for right now, the term ulenida has been dashed underlined, which means as follows. We should have considered the woman ritually impure for 14 days, and no days of purity following that, unlike what it teaches in the source. Because by granting her days of Tohar up till day 40, namely from day 14 till day 40 of Yemei Tohar, that in and of itself is a leniency. So why didn't it teach it like this, using the term Nida as well, which, as we said, would have indicated no days of Tohar? Kashya. This represents a bit of a difficulty, but it doesn't constitute a refutation. The Rashbam elaborates on that, simply because many times sources are terse, and the Gemara could have answered, Tani lezochar ulenekev lenida, which it doesn't do over here, but it had that out. Continuing in the Gemara, Omar Rova, Tanyo Kavose, the Rabbi Ami. One might say, Rabbi Ami, where did I hear him? So, using our marking system, let us take advantage of the arrow that appears in the space between the Gemara and the Rashbam. Notice an arrow there with an indication, Kuf Chav Vav Amud Beis, noted underneath it. That tells you to look back to Kuf Chav Vav Amud Beis, try to find a corresponding arrow with a note Kuf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph under it, and lo and behold, you will find toward the bottom of the page such an arrow. In the middle of a line, we see Rav Ami's name, the first of the series of triangle names. His halacha was that a tumtum that's born and only later on becomes clear to us as a male, he does not receive pishnayim, doesn't receive the extra portion that is due to a bechor. The Gemara says we have a source that supports him. This source opens up with a quote from a pasuk. It's a singular word, but if you look at the asterisk on the inside margin, we've included the pasuk V'hoyo haben habachor lasnia. That's a quote from the parsha that we saw before, Devarim Chof Aleph pasuk Tes Vov. The source begins Ben V'loi Tumtum. Bechor v'lo safek. The term bechor was also in the same pasuk, bechor and not a safek. The Gemara explains this source. Bishlamo ben v'lo tumtum. I understand the opening section of the source, the aleph section of the source, kidarabiyami, namely, the Torah says a double portion, extra portion will be given to a ben and not to a tumtum. That is in accordance with Rav Ami's teaching, that only a bechor at the time of birth, a male at the time of birth, would be eligible to receive the extra portion if he's a firstborn male, but not someone who becomes a male only later on by his organs being revealed. Ella, what about the Beis section of this source? Bechor v'lo safek. The Torah is using the word bechor to the exclusion of a case of doubt. Lafuke mai, what are you excluding by that expression? The Gemara answers, Lafuke midedorash rava, to the exclusion of Rava's teaching. Before we proceed in the Gemara, let us glance for introductory purposes at our topic heading in the outside margin, the nosei. Shnei zichorim shenoldu v'sarvu v'echod mehem b'chor. Two male children are born and they get mixed up, and one of them is a firstborn. One of them is a firstborn to his father. Ha'im yicholim lichtoiv harsho ze lo ze kedei ligvois chelek ha'b'chora. Can they write a document of entitlement, form of power of attorney, to one another, thereby enabling them to collect the extra portion in the eventual distribution of an estate with other brothers? Namely, between the two of them, there is definitely a bechor. When they confront the other brothers, can they put a claim in for an extra portion? We will see two cases, me oilam lo hukru, a situation where it was never known which child was a bechor. Beis, a second case, ukru lebesof nisarvu, where for a moment it was known which one was the Bechor, and only later on a mix-up developed. As the Gemara goes on, we'll bear in mind that we're here to explain the Beis section of that Tanaic source, Bechor v'lo Sofek. Continuing in the Gemara, Didorash Rava. Rava taught, Shtei Noshim, two women, two wives of one man. So there's a man with two wives, both are pregnant. and they give birth. Sheyoldu shnei zechorim v'machbei. They give birth to two children, two male children, in hiding, in seclusion. The characteristic of Yoledo b'machbei is a situation where it was never known which child was the firstborn. All we know is that we have a man here who had up till this point no children. He has two wives, and they are both bearing male infants. Koisvin harsho'o ze loze. Rava teaches, at this point in the Gemara, note we've dashed underlined the word koisvin. This will have significance for the Gemara a little bit later. He says they can write a power of entitlement to one another, enabling them to receive an extra portion over other brothers in the future. The Rashbam offers a little more explanation on the lower section of the page. Koisvin harshoa zeh lo zeh, v'osi chad minayu, one of them can then come forth, v'tova chelek b'chora mino achin, and put a claim in for the extra portion due to a b'chor from the other brothers, and say as follows, im b'chor ani tenu li b'shvil atzmi, if I am the b'chor, then give me the extra portion in my own merit. V'im lav, if I am not the b'chor, tenu li b'shvil achi, shrei nosan li chelko. If not, then give me the extra portion on behalf of my brother, because he entitled me to it. That was the harshah that we mentioned before. Upaskinon li'el, the Gemara concluded before, yeshlo lebechor koidem chalukah, that the chelek bechor, the portion known as the firstborn portion, is considered the bechor's even before division. V'yochol limkor v'litein chelek bechorosu l'chol mi shiyirtzeh. And as a result of that feature of the chelek bechora, there can be that chelek can be transacted even before division. V'ach milsa also krol demute. It's this point that the pasuk that we saw before, bechor v'lo sofek, is coming to exclude the afagav de midino yislei, that even though by letter of the law the bechor is entitled to his extra portion before division, gezeras hakosavu shelo yitnu lo chelek bechora min hasofek. If, however, you're dealing with a situation of doubt, he is not entitled to that extra portion. In other words, the teaching that Rava is sharing right now, in effect, is being excluded, is being pushed away by the Gzeiras HaKosev that we saw in the source. That will become clear as we go on in the Gemara. Omer le Rav Papa le Rava. V'hosholach Ravin, Dovar zeh sho'alti l'chol raboisai, v'lo omru li dovar. This matter I had sent to all of my teachers, and they didn't comment on it. Bram, kach omru mishum Rabbi Yanai. However, they said thusly, in the name of Rabbi Yanai. Notice, of course, we have a geometric form accompanying Rabbi Yanai. This is for the purpose of making him stand out. As you can see, he appears later as well. So what did Rabbi Yanai say? 2 points. Aleph. Hukru ulibasof nisarvu koisvin harsha zelozeh. If it was noticed, it was known initially who the firstborn was, and subsequently there was mix-up, then they can write the harsha one to the other. This power of attorney, of entitlement, can be produced. However, beis, lo hukru, if it was never known who the bechor was, like in our case of the Leida B'machboi, Ein Koisvin Harsha Zeh Lo Zeh. Notice we've dashed, underlined the expression Ein Kosvin. This is to contrast with Rava's teaching a few lines above where it said Kosvin. Rava, upon hearing this, reacted as follows. Hodar uki Rava amira ole. Upon hearing Rav Yanai's teaching, Rava set up a public announcement. That's the expression of uki Rava amira. Amira is a person who would say the shiurim, say over the teachings in public. Vidorash, and announced as follows. Dvorim shamarti lochem ta'uzhein biyadi. That which I said before is a mistake. Baram kach omru mishum Rabbi Yanai. Rather, thusly, it was said in the name of Rabbi Yanai. And once again, we see his two teachings. Aleph, hukru ulibasof nisarvu kaisvin harsha zelozeh. If it was known which one was the Bechor at the initial point in time, and later on a mix-up developed, then they can write the power of entitlement one to the other. Bays, lo hukru, if it was never known, ein kosvin harsha zeh lo zeh. So you see Rava retracting his original teaching, and this of course is what was intended by the Brisa when it said Bechor velo sofik, that the Bechor portion is something that is eligible only to one who was known initially as being a Bechor, even if later on a mix-up arose. Sholchule b'nei Akro di Agmo l'Shmuel. The residents of Akro di Agmo, name of a place, sent to Shmuel, Yilamdenu Rabbeinu, teach us concerning the following. Before we go on in what they are requesting, let us glance at the outside margin under the Nosei heading. Ha'im ha'av ne'mon neged chazaka. Is a father believed in telling us about his children when what the father tells us is against what was assumed? The term chazaka is not to be confused with the concept of edus, of formal testimony, but rather, chazaka in this context refers to that which was assumed knowledge. So is a father believed in telling us something that runs counter to assumed knowledge? Ukigon shaya echad muhsok kibachor. For example, a case where someone was assumed to be a bechor, assumed to be a firstborn, uboho av yomar al achir shu habechor. And the father comes along and tells us regarding another one that he is the Bechor. Let us continue in the Gemara. Remember, the people of Akra the Agma asked Shmuel to teach us concerning the following. Hoyu muchzokin bozeh shehu Bechor. It was assumed through a call, through public knowledge, if you will, that so-and-so was a firstborn. V'yomar oviv al achir, Bechor hu. The father tells us regarding another one, he is the Bechor, Mahu. What is the din? The Rashbam at the bottom says, Al Achir, or he has a Girsa Al Echod, Min Abonim, regarding one of the other sons, Mahu, Mehemneinon La'av, B'mokum Chazoka, Shemakcheshes Devorav. Do we believe a father whose statement is countered by the assumed knowledge? Olo. Or maybe we don't believe the father. Sholach lehu. Shmuel sends to them. Kosvin harsho'o ze lo ze. The muchzok child, the one that had been assumed to be a Bechor, and the one the father claims is a Bechor. They write a harsha one to the other. In the Gemara just before this we saw a legal statement or document. There, we refer to it as a power of attorney or power of entitlement, where one gives his claim of Bechora to the other one, and between the two of them, they go and claim the Chelik Bechora from the other brothers. The Gemara asks, I don't understand Shmuel. Shmuel doesn't seem to be taking a clear position. There are two opinions concerning the matter of believability of father. These two opinions appear a bit later in a Tanaic source. You can see a few lines from the top in a frame. They are the opinions of Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. The Gemara asks over here, Monafshach, which way are you going? Iki Rabbanan Svira Lei, if Shmuel holds like the Rabbanan later on, Lishlach Lehu Kirabbanan, he should send to the people that asked him a question a halachic ruling like the Rabbanan opinion that we haven't seen yet. Iki Rabbi Yehuda Svira Lei, if Shmuel holds like Rabbi Yehuda, Lishlach Lehu Kirabbanan, then he should have sent a legal ruling like that of Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara answers, Misafgale, Shmuel himself is in doubt. E Kirabi Huda, E Kirabonon. He is in doubt whether to follow Rabbi Huda's opinion that says a father is believed. A father is believed against a chazoka, clearly defining one as the Bahor. And the Rabbonon hold the father is not believed. Therefore, the other one is the Bechor. Shmuel is in doubt. Therefore, he resolves Kaisvin Harshah between the two of them. The one the father claimed was the Bechor, and the Muchsuk one, between the two of them, we will establish the presence of a Bechor. The Gemara goes on, my he. What is this reference to Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan? Desanya, we have the following source in which they appear. The Pasuk says, Yakir. We've included the Pasuk on the inside margin where it says, Ki es habachor ben asnua yakir. Lo seis lo pishnayim b'chol asher imotse lo. Ki hu reishis oinoi loy mishpat habachora. In the Pasuk, the word Yakir appears. The Brisa explains, Yakirenu la'achirim. Make it known to others. Make him known to others. Mikanam Rabbi Yehuda. Based on this, Rabbi Yehuda teaches, Ne'mon Adam Loimar ze beni Bechor. A man is believed to say, this is my son, the Bechor, even though we're muchsak in someone else being the Bechor. That point is emphasized by the Rashbam, though you don't see it here in the text. Hence, we've written this in between the lines. Namely, once again, that a man is believed to say, this son of mine is the Bechor, even though, up till this point, we were muchsuk in someone else, one of the other sons being the Bechor. Ukeshem she'ne'emon odom loymar zeh b'ni Bechor, Kach ne'mon odom loymar ze ben gerusha veze ben chalutza. And just like a father has believability in declaring which son is the Bechor, a father would also be believed to say that this child is the son of a divorced woman that I, a Kohen, married. A Kohen who marries a divorced woman and bears a child from that union, the child is called a cholol. So by his saying Zeb ben Grusha, the Zeb ben Chalutza, he's in effect saying that the child is a cholol. This is not the subject of our sugya, hence we're not going to spend time on the details of ben Grusha and ben Chalutza. Suffice it to say that it's an additional example of father's believability. V'chachomim oimrim einoi ne'mon. The Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Yehuda and say that a father does not have ne'emonus. Therefore, Shita Shmuel is an opinion that arises from doubt. Who to follow, Rebbe Yehuda or the Chachamim? Do you follow the father's word, or do you follow the muchzak, the assumed bechor? What does Shmuel do? He says, "Kaisven harsha ze lo ze." Going on in the Gemara, we saw that Rebbe Yehuda dealt with the pasuk Yakir and understood it as the Torah giving father believability. What about the Rabbanan? Amar lei Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok leRava, Bishlama leRav Yehuda, who said the father is believed, Hainu dechtiv Yakir. That's what the Torah was communicating by using the word Yakir. Elo leRabbanan Yakir lomali. But according to the Rabbanan, what am I to derive from that expression? Gemara answers, Bitzorich Hekera. This is dealing with a case that a family comes to us about whom we know nothing. In such a case, a father can say who is the Bechor and who's not. However, in a case where there's a chazaka, where there's assumed knowledge already concerning one, there, the Rabbanon say, a father is not believed. The Gemara asks, according to the Rabbanon, that the Torah is teaching me that a father is believed in a case where there was no known public knowledge concerning a family, what halachic bearing does it have in our saying that a father is believed? For what purpose is the father going to be believed? L'mai hilchisa, l'meisva loy pi shnayim. Is the legal bearing of this information that a father is believed to declare which one of his children that we knew nothing about is the Bechor, is that for the purpose of giving that particular child, the one whom the father declared was Bechor, a double portion? Do I need the Torah to tell me that? Do I need the Torah to tell me that a father can say which one is the Bechor, and as a result of that, that child will get a double portion? Lo yehe elo acher. Let it be a stranger. If this man, this father, wanted to give a stranger a portion of his estate as a gift, could he not give it? Of course he could give. A person can give as a gift whatever he wants to whomever he wants. I don't need a special verse in the Torah to teach me something that I could have easily thought up on my own. So the question once again is, what is Yakir teaching me? Of what value is it that a father has believability that I need the Torah to teach me about it? So the Gemara answers, Lo tzricha, I need this Gezeres HaKosov of Yakir, v'nechosim shenoflu loy li'achar mikan. We have a story of a father telling us that one of his sons, he points out a particular son, this is the Bechor. Again, this is a family we knew nothing about. The father says, this is a Bechor. The father's statement will have the following legal ramifications. Property that this father acquires later on after his declaration, namely, property that he is not currently in possession of, property that he acquires later on when the estate is eventually divided out, that boy that the father said was a Bechor will get a double portion of that property as well. In other words, later acquired property is called Dover Shelo Boli Olam. And we know, Ein Oda Makne Dover Shelo Boli Olam. A person doesn't have jurisdiction over property that's not in his possession In other words, I can't sell something that I haven't acquired myself yet. I can only sell that which I have. The chidush in this case is that the child that was declared a bechor by the father will receive property, will receive a double portion of property that at this point in time is not yet in the father's possession. Property that only later on this father will acquire. The Gemara asks, do I really need the Torah to teach me this point? Ula Rebbe Meir, the Omar Odom, Makne Dovor Shelo Bali Oilom, Yakir Lomali. According to Rebbe Meir, and in truth, the Rashbam points out that the Chachomim that we are discussing right now is in fact Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Meir is the Bar Plukta, is the generally the one who argues with Rebbe Yehuda. According to Rebbe Meir, that holds a person does have power to sell items that he is not currently in possession of. In other words, a person can sell futures. Therefore, I don't need the Torah to tell me that the father is believed when he says this child is the Bechor, and as a result, this child will get as yet unpossessed properties. He could do that anyway, even without the Torah informing us of this believability. The Gemara answers, even within Rebbe Meir, there is a Chiddush. Before we read the answer, let us preface the Gemara. Rebbe Meir's Shita is that Odom Makne Dovor Shelo Bali Olam. A person can sell things that he doesn't yet possess. However, it's qualified. That is true provided that at the point that the individual gets those properties, he could at that point conduct a transaction. However, if you have a situation where a person who is currently selling something he doesn't have, and when he eventually comes into possession of that item, he's deathly ill, he's incommunicable, he can't talk, he can't conduct any transaction, that type of property, if he declared a sale concerning it previously, that will not be the subject of the sale. That's what the Gemara answers here. B'nechosim shenoflu lo kishu goises. The chidush of the Torah here, according to the Rabbonin, yakir. A father is believed to say that this boy is my firstborn. This boy will be entitled to a double portion, even in property that comes into this particular father's possession at a point in time when the father himself is a goises, is deathly ill. So that under the powers of Odom Makne Dover Shelo Boli Olam, he couldn't have received the property. But under the Gezeres HaKosuv of Yakir, this boy will be entitled to receive those properties that otherwise he wouldn't have been able to acquire. The Gemara continues, Tanu Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source, as you can see, a framed section, as you've become familiar with already in the marking system, indicates Tanaic material. Case 1. Hoyu muchzokin boy shuhu b'chor. There was someone that we assume to be a b'chor, v'yomar oviv al acher shuhu b'chor. And the father said, regarding another one of his sons, he is the b'chor. Ne'emon. We've dashed underlined the expression Ne'emon to highlight that the father is believed. Case 2. Hoyu muchzokin boy she'eino b'chor. We have a case of a son of a boy that we assumed is not a b'chor. V'yomar oviv b'chor hu. The father came along and said, he is a Bechor. Eino Ne'emon. We've dashed underlined the expression Eino Ne'emon to emphasize, in case two, the father is not believed. The Gemara points out, Reisha Rebbe Yehuda v'Seifo Rabbanon. The Reisha, the first case, reflects Rebbe Yehuda's opinion that a father is believed against a chazaka. The second case reflects the Rabbanon's opinion that a father is not believed against a chazaka. Before we continue in the Gemara, let us take advantage of our introductory note, our topic heading in the outside margin, the no say. Ha'oimer b'ni hu. A person says regarding a particular son, particular individual, this is my son. The Chozar v'Omar Avdi, who? And then he says, this is on the same person. He says, this is my slave. O ha-hefech, or the opposite, where he starts off by saying, this individual is my slave. And then he tells us, he is my son. Ha'im ne'emon b'chazoroso. Are we to believe his retraction? Oh, we're going to then focus on the second comment that he makes on that person. Are we going to believe the second comment? As we look at the Gemara text, we notice a Roman numeral 1 and 2 in diamonds. The 2 is a few lines later. This is explained under the Mivneh heading. The note says, Shnei Mekoymois. Two places. We'll be talking about two circumstances. One, Kol Mokom, generally speaking, all places. Case 2 will be featuring specifically Beis HaMeches, a tax collection point, possibly a border crossing, or a situation where a person encounters tax collectors. Continuing in the Gemara, Omar Rav Yochanan. Omar, a person says, Benihu. Says, this is my son. The Chozar v'Omar Avdihu. And then he later on changes and says, he is my slave. Einoi ne'emon. He's not believed in his retraction. He's not believed to say that this is a slave. Let us glance in the Rashbam. Eino Ne'emon. The Rashbam says, Eino Ne'emon, b'mai domar hashto avdi. He's not believed in what he says now, that this is my slave. V'leko l'meimar hai dekori le mitchilo b'ni. And we're not going to say the following. That which he called him initially b'ni, mishum de oihavo kibeno. That really, he is a slave, but he simply loves him like a son. That we're not going to say. De'ein derech likroi la'avdo b'no. It's not normal for a person to refer to a slave by the term b'no. V'hilkach achar taino rishona ne'lech. Therefore, we're going to follow his first expression. D'hoil v'zoi su'achrona eino pirush kim hakosha. Since the second expression is not an explanation of the first expression, but rather a contradiction to the first expression, Ein lonu leilech achar tainach rona. We're not going to follow that. The hoidoas piv heemino teiro, the mai de omar bini. The comment that he makes by saying he's my son, the Torah gives that believability. Kirichtiv Yakir, as it says in the parsha that we saw above, Yakir v'kevon shehigid, and since he testified to that effect, shuveinu chozer umagid, he cannot retract that opening believable testimony. Let's go back into the Gemara. Case Beis, Avdihu. Man opens up by saying, this is my slave. V'chozer v'yomar benihu. And then he tells us, this is my son. Ne'emon. He is believed to retract and claim beni. And why is that? Because we can explain, we can say that the opening expression doesn't contradict the second expression. How is that? De mishamesh li ka'avdo ka'omar. He can explain that the reason I called him slave is because this is a son that serves me with such diligence as if he were a slave. V'chilufei abeis hameches. The opposite will be true at a tax collection point. Before we go any further in the Gemara, we must make a very staunch disclaimer. In no way is one to understand the Gemara as approving of tax evasion. Not for one second. However, we do have to deal with the nature of man. And the nature of man is such that when confronted with tax collectors, there is an impulse to attempt to avoid and evade. With that nature in mind, we can continue in the Gemara. Hoya over al beis hameches. He's crossing a tax collection point. And we must note ahead of time that property was taxed. Included in property are slaves. Slaves being considered a form of property, one has to pay tax on that. So you have a man with someone accompanying him, and he says at the tax collection point, V'yomar benihu, oh, this is my son. V'chozar v'yomar, and later on he says, avdihu, this guy is really my slave. Ne'eman, he's believed when he claims now that it is his slave. We have to simply recall, when is it that he said he's my son? He said it at the collection, tax collection point. He said it in order to avoid the taxes. One is not taxed on children. And therefore, when he tells us later on, after he passed the meches, he tells us that it's his eved, we will believe him. However, Omar Avdihu, at the tax collection point, he tells us this is his eved, and he thereby knows that he's going to incur a fee, and he willingly says Avdihu, the chaz of Yarma Benihu, ain't on Amon. He's not going to be believed in the retraction to tell us later on that it's his son. The Gemara now raises a question on Rabbi Yochanan's teaching. We're going to be focusing particularly on Rabbi Yochanan, Roman numeral number 1, Beis. What did we see there? We see that when a person opens up and says Avdihu, and then changes it into Bini, that he is believed. And why is that? Because we explain the two terms together. How do we explain it? We said that it truly is his son, and the reason he referred to him as a slave is because it's a son that was so diligent in his service of his father that he called him initially Avdi. As we read the source, we can note ahead of time that the kasha is going to come from the end of the source. Our object will be to compare the information at the end of this source to Rabbi Yochanan's teaching. Rabbi Yochanan's teaching, particularly in Roman numeral 1, Beis. Meisve. Hoyo mishamshoi keben. Ubo vi omar benihu. We have someone serving a man as a son serves his father. And he tells us, this is my son. V'chozar v'yomer avdihu. And then later on he says, this is really my slave. Eino ne'emon. He's not believed. Hoya meshamshoi ke'eved. We have a fellow serving, and we see him serving as a slave. Ubo v'yomer avdihu. And he tells us in his opening remark, this is my slave. Before we go further, we have a situation of someone very servile, and the opening remark is, this is my slave. This corresponds to Rabbi Yochanan, Roman numeral number 1, Beis, where you saw opening statement, Avdihu. So too over here. The source goes on, V'chozer v'yomer benihu. And then this man continues in saying, oh, this is really my son. Eino ne'emon. He's not believed. Before, Rabbi Yochanan told us that when he turns around and says later on, this is my son, we explained, he's my son, and why did I call him Eved? Because he's so dedicated in a service to me like that of an Eved. Here we have a case where we see this dedicated service. We see he's Meshamesh Ki'av Eved. And this man is not believed when he tells us Benihu later on. So, do we have a Kashan Rabbi Yochanan? Gemara answers, no. Omer of Nachbar Yitzchak. Hossam, in this Tanaic source, when he used the term Avdi Hu, Hossam dekoru le Avdo Meitzar Mea. He referred to him using that expression. My Meitzar Mea. What does that mean? Avdo Meitzar Mea. Meitzar Avdo Mea Zuzi. Rashbam explains, this is an Eved worth 100 Zuz. So if you have a case like that, where a person opened up by saying, oh, you see this dedicated fellow, this is an Eved worth 100 Zuz. He's not going to be believed later on when he says, this is my son. A person would never refer to one's son and attach a value to him by calling him an Eved worth 100 Zuz. However, in the din of Rabbi Yochanan, where he said simply, Avdihu, and then informed us, this is my son, and we explained he meant to say, this is a son that serves me as if he were an Eved, there we can believe him when he says, this is my son. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.